Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. Wow, that was so loud. It's great to see all your smiling faces here this morning. Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 146, which will be our scripture reading for this morning. This will not be the text from which we draw the sermon this morning, but it will be our scripture reading, Psalm 146. In Psalm 146, we find this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man, in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow. But he thwarts the way of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do praise you because you are God. And everything that you are unchangeably. So that no matter how our circumstances and our experiences may change, no matter how our bodies or our minds may change, you are constant, reliable, and awesome. And Lord, because of this, you are infinitely worthy of praise, so we will praise you. Lord, we continue to pray for the ministry of Calvary Bible Church. That even though we are not able at this time to assemble together, that you would continue to knit our hearts together in the love that comes from belonging to you and walking with you. Lord, I pray that you would be with the unspoken requests of everyone's heart who may be listening or watching this now. And Lord, we pray that you would show yourself mighty. In order that our fears would be relieved, and in order that we may walk with you humbly, confidently, worshipfully, to the praise of your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, turn with me, if you would, please, to Malachi chapter 3, which will be our text this morning once we get there. Malachi chapter 3. I love the book of Malachi. Some people have said that Malachi is the only Italian prophet, Prophet Malachi, and I appreciate that. I think there's some truth to that, although no DNA evidence could ever be brought to support that. But what Malachi does that I think is particularly powerful is he asks a lot of rhetorical questions, and we'll get there. At this point, suffice it to say this, that the only thing that is constant in our life is change. The last 6 months have been a time of great change in my life. Looking back to even before the beginning of this series, moving to a whole different area, to a whole different church with whole different people and leaving a lot of things that were familiar and comfortable. The last 6 months have also been a time of change for Calvary Bible Church. I mean, think about it. 6 months ago, we were at what? 500 and some, and now we are all the way up to about a dozen. What a great revival. No, I'm kidding. But it's been different. You're adjusting to a new preaching pastor. You're adjusting to different ways of doing things. And of course, we're all adjusting to the difference in our culture and our world right now. And the fear that comes along with this virus and with not being able to assemble together. With the current situation, we've come to see, I hope, just how encouraging and important it is to assemble together And so before we go any further, I just want to remind you, Calvary Bible Church, that we're praying for you. We miss seeing your faces here. We miss interacting with you. And we're looking forward to the day when we can assemble again and worship God again. It seems like life, though, is just one change after another, and we fear change, don't we? I think we fear change because few things are more unsettling than the unknown. And I think we'd rather accept things that we don't particularly love, but at least we know what's coming, rather than facing a future of unknowns. And so I know many of you are really being pushed to the limit in terms of your anxiety and your fear and your worry and your doubt and your stress. So what you need to hear this morning and be reminded of is the same thing I need to hear and be reminded of this morning, that God is, and He is unchanging. My theme for this year in terms of the preaching ministry is simply this, that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so since January 5, we've been discussing and looking into exploring these attributes of God. This morning, we will see that God is unchanging. The theological term here is immutable, unalterable. And so there's a couple of things I'd like for you to think about as we begin. Two verses that stick out before we get to our text, in my mind, is this. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? What a great question this morning. Calvary Bible Church, is God still God? Amen. That's the question we must be asking. It's the question we must be answering, not only for ourselves, but to a world that is living in fear. Because it seems like everything's different now. Now we have to think before we leave the house. We have to think whether it's essential or not, whether we need to be exposed to other people or not. And the question in our hearts may very well be this: is God still God? And the answer is that He is, and He is unchangingly. Another verse that sticks out in my brain is James 1:17 that says this: every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. Friends, this is a fitting end to this sermon series. It has been an indescribable pleasure to preach about the attributes of God. As you'll begin to see over the next couple of decades, Lord willing, is that everything I'm preaching at the time is my favorite thing. So I say it and I mean it, although I may say it again about something different. Studying the attributes of God is absolutely one of my favorite things. And it reminds me of this great quote by Charles Spurgeon. He says this: there is something exceedingly improving to the mind in a contemplation of the divinity. It is a subject so vast that all our thoughts are lost in its immensity, so deep that our pride is drowned in its infinity. Other subjects we can compass and grapple with, and in them we feel a kind of self-content and go our way with the thought, behold, I am wise. But when we come to this master science, finding that our plumb line cannot sound its depth and that our eagle eye cannot see its height, we turn away with the thought that vain man would be wise. But he's like a wild donkey's colt. And with a solemn exclamation, I am but of yesterday and know nothing. No subject of contemplation will tend more to humble the mind than thoughts of God. Let me ask you, does it matter what God is if that can change? Does it really matter who this God is if we cannot be sure that he will remain so forever? Does it matter whether or not God is what he is unchangeably? Would it be possible for us to draw any comfort from God's perfections if they were subject to change? Would we not live in perpetual fear that we may miss out on his promises? What if God is what he is temporarily? How would that affect his character, his power, his person? Let me ask you this. Does it matter how pleasant your father is if he can fly off the handle at any moment? Does it really matter how nurturing your mother is if for very little to no reason she can snap just like that and beat you? See, God's character is only reliable insofar as it is unchanging. And so it is fitting to end this series by reminding ourselves that what God is, he is unchangeably. It's also a challenging end to this sermon series. This is not necessarily the way I envisioned ending this series when I started. But things change, right? When we started this, it was a new year. And we had no idea the situation would present itself. Did we? Was there anybody that predicted this in our walls that said within a few months we would have to do church differently? When we started this, we assembled together without fear. And now we must wait, we must be patient until we can do so again. And that's going to be a great day. Amen. As I look around and see empty spaces where I used to see smiling faces, I'm looking forward to that day. It's a challenging end to this sermon series. We need to know that God is not altered by this. He's not minimized by this. He's not overwhelmed by this. He is not reactional about this. He is not scared about this. We need to know that he is, and he is unchangeably. And that's why we'll talk then about the immutability of God. The Lord does not change. When we talk about the immutability of God, that means that we're talking about a characteristic of God signifying that he does not change in his basic nature. So let's get to the text. Malachi 3, verse 6. Just one verse this morning, but it is a big verse. And notice, beloved, what it says. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O sons of Jacob, therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Wow. Wow. Because God does not change, the sons of Israel are preserved instead of exterminated. Notice what it says, beloved. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. I have to be honest, when I read this verse earlier in the week, I had to rub my eyes and make sure I read it correctly. Because this is different than what we would expect Wouldn't we expect the verse to say something like this? Therefore, I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, will be consumed. Over the last couple of months, we have talked about the holiness of God, the justice of God, the wrath of God. How are we not consumed? How are we not exterminated in the presence of this transcendent majesty? And the answer is because He is, and He is unchangeably. Because He cannot change, Israel was not consumed. Because He cannot change, we are not consumed. Because God is what He is unchangeably, we can never be lost once we are found. Amen. What God is not a temporary good mood or a shifting shadow of pleasant feelings. What He is, He is. This means that what He is unchangeably. So let's look at this a little bit. First of all, this means that what He is and everything that He is unchangeably. Now, God's immutability clearly distinguishes Him from His creation. How many of you are exactly the same as you were 10 years ago? None of us. It seems like every morning we wake up with a different aching part of our bodies. I was telling somebody, and this is absolutely true, it is humbling to watch myself preach on YouTube. Because I see a side of me I never see. The top of my head. And so when I do this to look at the text, it's clear for everyone that the only part of me that's thinning is my hair. 10 years ago, it was slightly different. God is unchanging and unchangeable, and everything else changes. At least everything in His creation. This means that what He is and everything He is unchangeably. And this means that God's perfection precludes any change. Friends, hear what A.W. Tozer says in his great book, The Knowledge of the Holy. He says this, for a moral being to change, it would be necessary that the change be in one of three directions. He must go from better to worse, or from worse to better. Or granted that the moral quality remains stable, he must change within himself. As from immature to mature, from one order of being to another, it should be clear that God can move in none of these directions. His perfections forever rule out any such possibility. Now, what is he saying? He's saying this, if God is perfect, he can't get better. And if God is perfect, he can't get worse. And if God is perfect, He doesn't need to change at all. This means that God's perfection precludes any change. The reason why we change is in hope of getting better. Or despite fear of getting worse. None of that applies to God. His perfection precludes any change. Secondly, it means that His character precludes any change. As I look back at my life, having been saved in 1994, first coming to know the Lord in 1994, and looking now that it's 2020, I hope I can see progress in my walk with Christ. I hope I can see progress in my hatred of sin and my love for His glory. God cannot progress. He cannot show progress because He never needs to progress. He's perfect.
Tozer says this,
all that God is, he has always been. And all that he has been and is, he will ever be. Nothing that God has ever said about himself will be modified. Nothing the inspired prophets and apostles have said about him will be rescinded. His immutability guarantees this.
Malachi 3:6,
for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. This means that God's attributes will never change.
Again, Tozer says this, God never changes moods or cools off in his affections or loses enthusiasm.
His attitude toward sin is now the same as it was when he drove out the sinful man from the eastward garden. And his attitude toward the sinner, the same as when he stretched forth his hands and cried, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is just a fancy way of saying this. God hates sin as much now as he did in the Garden of Eden when he kicked Adam and Eve out. But he also loves us and loves sinners as much as when Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. He is unchangeable in his righteousness, yes. He is unchangeable in his grace, yes.
That brings a question to our mind. And the question is simply this. What about when God changes his mind or changes his course?
There are examples in the Bible where God is going in one direction and then seems to change his direction. What do we do with these passages? Like when God comes to Moses and says, I'm going to wipe Israel out and build a new people on you. And Moses says, don't do that, Lord, because then the nations will say that you weren't able to save. And he says, okay. Does that mean God changes? Or how about this? God's wrath was upon us when we were unbelievers. Now his love and grace are upon us as believers. Did he change? No. God is immutable. But this doesn't mean that God is immobile.
Now, some theologians, especially older ancient theologians, taught that God's immutability meant that he was static and unaffected emotionally by his creation. But the Bible, on the other hand, shows that God does indeed interact with his creation, and he does so in an emotional way.
God is active and enters into relationships with changing men. In these relationships, it is necessary for an unchangeable God to change in his dealings with changing men in order to remain unchangeable in his character and purposes.
What does this mean? This means God deals with us in time and in circumstances. His being is not changed. His character is not changed. His will is not changed. His purposes are not changed. But he interacts with us in experience and in time. And so from our perspective, it seems that he changes.
And he even uses what we call anthropopathic language to describe himself in ways that he can make sense to fallen and depraved human minds.
God never changes in who he is.
When our circumstances change, it seems like God has changed toward us, but nothing in him ultimately does.
What God is, he is unchangeably. And because of that, we are not consumed. So what does this call us to? Friends, to what does this call us? First of all, this calls us to worship. What he is unchangeably and gloriously. When you woke up this morning and you began to read the news or try to figure out what's going on in this world, it seems like everything's changing. But He is not changing. He has never changed. He is, and what He is unchangeably and gloriously. And friends, when we come back together, what we will celebrate is that 10 weeks ago, 10 years ago, 10 weeks from now, 10 years from now, He is God. He's not huddled in a corner, sucking his thumb, worried about what's going on in the universe. He is God. And we will reassemble. And when we reassemble, we will worship this God. If anything will have been changed, it'll be us. We will no longer take for granted the blessing it is to share space with other humans in the worship of this God. This whole series and this sermon calls us to worship. Secondly, it calls us to trust. To trust. When a lot of things change, small things that are familiar become so important, don't they? And as we make our way to the grocery store or to Walmart to get supplies, and we notice that some of the shelves are just completely empty, like toilet paper. And yesterday I was in a store, there was no maple syrup in the whole place. Yeah. Why? Because you know what makes us feel better? I mean, apart from obviously having toilet paper, is having pancakes. Something familiar. And saying to ourselves, maybe not everything is different. Not everything is changed. And so we must remember that we serve a God who is unchanged by this and therefore worthy of our trust. Without being over familiar, we can be familiar. We can know this God, love this God, interact with this God just exactly the same way we did 4 weeks ago, 4 months ago, 4 years ago. This calls us to worship. This calls us to trust. Thirdly, this calls us to joy. What He is unchangeably. And that is the secret to the greatest joy you can ever experience in your life. He is. What He is unchangeably and therefore thrillingly. How on earth can we continue to live and to think and to move and to do without being crushed by the pressure of fear? The answer is because there is a God. And He's holy, and He's all-knowing, and He's gracious, and He's timeless. He's God. Fourthly, and lastly, this calls us to be saved. What He is unchangeably, and therefore you must be reconciled to Him.
Here's the lesson you must learn from the last few weeks and months. Everything in your life to which you cling is temporary, but God. Everything to which you cling for comfort in times of sorrow, anger, stress, worry, and doubt, all of those things may be ripped from you, but God cannot be ripped from you. And so if you're hearing this, if you're watching this, and you're not yet a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, let go of the things you cannot keep in order to gain one that you cannot lose. Let go of the things that salve your conscience and distract you from who you are. Let go of them and receive an unchangeably glorious, holy, wrathful, gracious, tender God. The same God who 2,000 years ago, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, was nailed to a cross to be punished for your sins. This same God is here now, unchanged, unchangeable, extending to you the offer to be saved. The offer to come to Him, to be thrilled by Him. If you're hearing this, today is the day for you. The Bible says that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Means no matter how the circumstances change, He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't waste this weird time in our history. Because there is a day when everything will go back to the way it was, and you will begin to forget just how temporal your pleasures are. Don't waste it. Come to Him and be saved. Now, as a benediction to this series and to the sermon, I would like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 145. I don't know that you would remember this, but the very first passage we read on January 5th in this series was Psalm 145. And I'd like to close with this and then pray to remind us that He is. Psalm 145, I will extol You, my God, O King, and I will bless Your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless You, and I will praise Your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Your works to another and shall declare Your mighty acts on the glorious splendor of Your majesty, and on the wonderful works I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of Your awesome acts, and I will tell of Your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of Your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of Your righteousness. You hear these attributes of God coming out? The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and His mercies are over all His works. All Your works shall give thanks to You, O Lord, and Your godly ones shall bless You. They shall speak of the glory of Your kingdom and talk of Your power to make known to the sons of men Your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of Your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord sustains all who fall
and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you. And you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy every desire or the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for everything that you are. We thank you for your holiness. We thank you for your graciousness. We thank you for your sovereignty. We thank you for your timelessness. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your immutability. We praise you that everything you are unchangeably. And if there's someone here, someone listening to this, for whom today is the day that you will change their lives because you are unchangeable in yours, I pray that you would lead them to cry out something like this: God, you are what you are, and I am a sinner. So, Lord, I ask that you would forgive me. Thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ was a real human man who lived a real human life and died a real human death and rose from the grave to bear the punishments my sins deserve. And thank you that your graciousness was not only the key to sending him, but the key to receiving me. You say in your word that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, I'm calling now. Would you save me? And for those of us who are already saved, oh Lord, we have been shown our weakness. We have been shown how quick we are to panic, to worry, to stress, and how prone we are to cling to the things of this world for comfort. Lord, thank you that you are unchanging toward us. That even when we're faithless, you remain faithful because you cannot deny yourself. Lord, I pray that if it would be your will, that soon we can assemble together again. And Lord, I ask that you would deliver us from the complacency we once had, assuming that gathering together is something that we would always have. And now we miss it. Now things have changed. Lord, we're trusting you that this is temporary. Lord, would you stir within us a desire to be with one another when we can, to encourage one another's faith, and to celebrate you together. I ask this for my heart, and I ask this for Calvary Bible Church, and I ask this for all who would hear. To the praise of your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings.
For me.